This week's Parsha is Parsha's Shoftim. We'll start with chapter 17, Pasuk number 8, where the Torah is discussing the law of a rebellious judge. The Pasuk says, Ki pole mimcho dovor lamishpot. If a matter of judgment will be wondrous, will be separated, will be hidden from you. Bein dam ledam, between blood to blood. Rashi explains that we talk about between blood that is impure to blood that is pure. Bein din ledin, between judgment to judgment. Rashi explains, which means that you don't know if somebody is guilty or somebody is innocent. Uvein nega lenega, between a plague and a plague, between a plague that is considered tame, impure, and a plague that is considered pure. Divra rivois bishorecha, words of strife in your towns. Rashi interprets it as that the rabbis in your town are arguing. One says it's tame, one says it's tar, one says this person is innocent, the other one says the person is guilty. The Ramban disagrees with Rashi, because the Ramban says that from the fact that it's written Ki pole mimcho dovor, that is going to be hidden from you, it's already implied that you don't know how to do the halacha. Then why do you have to say that divrei rivois bishorecha, that there is strife in your town, how to interpret things? Therefore, the Ramban says from the Medrash that divrei rivois bishorecha is not interpreted as words of strife amongst your town, meaning that the rabbis are arguing in your town. It means words of strife in your town, that there is cases of husband accusing his wife of committing adultery, in other words, the case of Sota, and also in your towns there is cases of fighting, meaning that there is a dead person that was found and it came about from fighting and you don't know who the killer is. The case of Egle Arufa, the decapitated calf that is found in the end of this week's Parsha. And according to the Ramban, these cases are examples of more cases that you won't know the answer. In other words, Ki pole mimcho dovor, if it be concealed from you, Aloche, which is also regarding Divrei Rivois Bishorecha, which is regarding the cases of Sota, the cases of Egle Arufa, then the pasuk continues, "V'kam tov alisa l'mokoim asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha boy." You should rise and go up to the place that Hashem chose, meaning that you should go up to Yerushalayim. As an aside, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Zayin, Omed Aleph 87a, where the Gemara says that Melamed Shebeis Hamikdash Govoya Me'eretz Yisrael, from the fact that the Torah tells you that if you have an argument in any of the cities of Israel, you should rise up and go up to Yerushalayim. That seems to imply that from any place that you go, Yerushalayim is a way up. From there you learn that the place of the Beis HaMikdash is the highest place in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara continues, Ve'eretz Yisrael govoya mikol huarotzois. And the land of Israel is higher than all other lands. Meaning that the place of the Beis HaMikdash being in Eretz Yisrael is the highest place of Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael itself is higher than any other place of the world. Meforshim ask a question. How can the Gemara say that Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim is the tallest place of the world when we know that there are places that have a higher elevation than Eretz Yisrael? For example, the Swiss Alps or Mount Everest or all the other tall peaks of the world, which is known to have a higher elevation than Eretz Yisrael. The Maharsha in Masechtas Kedushin, Daf Samach Tes Omed Aleph 69a, there he is commenting on the same statement that we have here, that Eretz Yisrael is the tallest place of the world, and he says that since the world is like an apple, meaning that the world is round, then any place that I make the center of the apple, that is going to be automatically higher than any of its sides. Since I make the center of the world Eretz Yisrael, therefore Eretz Yisrael is automatically higher than any of its sides. Meaning that if you have a circle and any point that you face the circle to the top, make that the center, any small space on top of that will be higher than any of its sides. The Maharal asks a question, how can we arbitrarily decide to choose Eretz Yisrael as the center of the world? If we're talking about physical elevations, who tells me that Eretz Yisrael has to be the center of the world? Therefore, the Maharal says that when the Gemara is speaking about Eretz Yisrael being the highest place of the world and the place of Beis HaMikdash being the highest place in Eretz Yisrael, it is not talking about the physical highest place, meaning that the elevation of Eretz Yisrael is higher than any other elevation. It means to tell you about the spirituality of Eretz Yisrael, that the spirituality of Eretz Yisrael is higher than any other lands, and the spirituality of the place of the Beis HaMikdash is higher than any other place in Eretz Yisrael. But in elevation, we concede that there may be other places that have a higher elevation than Eretz Yisrael. The Chasam Sofer in this week's Parsha agrees with the Maharsha, and he says that since the world is round, then any place of the center of the world, meaning any place I put on the top of this round circle, ends up being higher than any of its sides. And he answers the question of the Maharal, why do we choose arbitrarily Eretz Yisrael as the center if we are talking just about physical elevations? Why don't we choose any other place as the center? Then any place could end up being taller than Eretz Yisrael. The Chasam Sofer explains that we choose Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash to be the center of the world based on the Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Nun Dalet Omed Beis 54b, is discussing the Mishnah on 53b, where the Mishnah says that during the Second Temple there was no more Aron Kodesh. The Ark was put away hidden before the destruction of the First Temple. The Mishnah says, Mishenital Aron, when the Aron was taken away during the Second Temple, Even Hoysu Shom Mimois Nevim Orishonim, a stone was there from the days of the early prophets, Ushesia Hoysu Nikras, and it was called the Foundation Stone. The Gemara here is discussing why is it called the Foundation Stone. The Gemara says, Tana, we learned, Shemimenu Hushtas Oilom, that the world was founded through that stone, meaning that this was the foundation stone of the world. So the Gemara explains, what does it mean? Commander Omar, like the person who says, Mitzion Nivra Oilom, that the whole world was created from Zion. And Zion is referred to the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi explains that Zion was created first. Hashem created that stone, that Zion, and then clouds of materials, earth, stuck around it from every side and continued to do so until they reached the end of the earth, meaning that this is the center of the earth, and afterwards Hashem attached to it different materials, different things. But nonetheless, we see clearly from this Gemara that Hashem first created the place of the Beis HaMikdash, and only afterwards He created the rest of the world. It's logical to conclude that the Beis HaMikdash is the center of the world. So the Chasam Sofer says that according to this Gemara, the question of the Maharal is not a question, because we did not choose arbitrarily the place of the Beis HaMikdash to be the center of our circumference. The Gemara clearly says that that is the way that Hashem created the world, that comes out that anything that's in the center, on the top of that circle, is taller than any other of its sides. Therefore, when the Gemara says that Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash are the tallest place of the world, the Gemara means literal, since the world is a circle, that is the top of the circle. Going back to our topic, The pasuk is saying that if you have an argument between the rabbis of your town that you don't know how to decide, you should go up to the place of the Beis Hamikdash, where there the Sanhedrin used to sit. Pasuk number 9 continues, Uvaso el kohanim malavim, you should come to the priests and to the Levites, vela shofet ashiye bayomim ohem, and to the judges that will be in those days. Rashi is quoting the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof Hei Amed Beis 25b, where the Gemara asks a question, what does the Torah mean to tell me that I should go to the judge that will be in those days? Obviously, I have to go to the judge that will be in those days. I can't go to the judge that is going to be in a previous generation. The Gemara answers that you only could go to the judge that is in your days, meaning that you should not think that since I know that this judge doesn't have the qualities of any previous generation, I know for a fact that the previous judges were at a higher level, therefore I'm not going to bring my case to this judge. The Torah commands you that even if this judge is at a lower level, you're required to bring to the judge that's going to be in those days. Vedorashto, you should ask him, Vegidu lecho ezvar ha-mishpat, and they will tell you what you should do. The apostle commands you, Vasiso pia dovar ha-shagidu lecho, that you should do as the thing that they will tell you, min ha-mokom ahu ha-she-ivchar Hashem, from the place that Hashem chose, Veshomarto lasois kechoil asher yorucha. You should be careful to do like everything they taught you. Al pi haTorah asher yorucha, according to the Torah that they taught you. Valamishpat asher yomer lechu tase, and the judgment that they told you you should do. Lo yisasur min haDavar asher agidu lecha. You should not deviate from the thing that they told you. Yamin usmoil, right or left. In summary, if there is an argument between the rabbis in town, or you don't know a certain halacha, you should go to Yerushalayim, to the place of the Beis Hamikdash, ask the Sanhedrin what you should do, and you should do exactly what they tell you to do. Even if you think they are wrong, nonetheless, you should do as they tell you. You should not deviate right or left, and if you deviate right or left, and you judge according to what you think is right, the Torah continues that you are put to death. That is the law of Zokon Mamre, a rebellious elder, that if he decides to defy the Sanhedrin and judge according to what he thinks is right, in clear defiance what the rabbis told him, then he is put to death. Mefarshim ask the same question that probably could have bothered the Ramban too. Because the halacha is that not only when two rabbis are arguing regarding a halacha, that's when you have to go to Yerushalayim to ask what the psak is, what the final law is. Even if you have a doubt how to rule, you yourself have a doubt, you are also required to go up to Yerushalayim to ask this question. Then Mefarshim asks that according to Rashi, which Rashi translates, Divrei Rivos Bishorecha means, Sheyiyu Chach Meyoir Cholkin Bedavar, that the rabbis in the town are going to have strife in the halacha. Zemet Tame Vezemet Tar, this one says it's Tome, this one says it's Tar. Zemet Chayev, this one says you're guilty, Vezemet Zake, and this one says you're innocent. Then according to this Rashi, seems to imply that only if you have an argument between two people, that's the only time you go to Yerushalayim. But in truth is that even when you don't have an argument between two people, even when you don't know the halacha yourself, for example, you are a judge and you don't know how to decide the case, even though you have nobody contradicting you, nobody is arguing opposite you, but you yourself are in doubt how to decide the case, nonetheless, you are required to go up to Yerushalayim and ask the Sanhedrin how to decide the case. Then this portion, this pasuk that talks about Zokin Mamre, an elder that's rebellious, doesn't only apply to a case where you have strife between two rabbis. Then it comes out that the words divrei rivois bishorecha, words of strife in your town, becomes problematic and could be, as we mentioned, that is the reason why the Ramban says that divrei rivois bishorecha is another case of doubt that you are going to have, that you don't know dalacha basota. But nonetheless, according to Rashi, we have a question: what does it mean, divrei rivois bishorecha? It's superfluous, because that is not only the case where you are required to go up to Yerushalayim. Another question is brought down by Sefer Shemen Rosh. It's written you should go el koyanim alevim, to the Koyan and the Levi. So Rashi says, what is koyanim alevim? Rashi says, doesn't mean koyanim or levim. Rashi says, ha-koyanim sheyotsu mishevet Levi. The koyanim that came out of the tribe of Levite. Meaning, you should go to the koyanim, which are the levim. Sefer Shemen Rosh asks, what is the Torah trying to tell me by telling me now that you should go to the Kohanim, which are the Levim? Number one, I know that all Kohanim come from the tribe of Levite. So what's the point specifically now when I'm talking about a judge that doesn't know the law, that he should go to the Kohanim, which are the Levim? And furthermore, he asks, in Pasuk number 10, the Pasuk says, Vasisa al piadavar ar sheyagidu lecha min amokem ahu. You should do according to the word that they will tell you from that place, asher yivchar Hashem, that Hashem is going to choose. Meaning that from the place of the Beis HaMikdash, you should do according to what they tell you. And then v'shomarto lasois kechol asher yorucha. You should be careful to do according to everything that they will teach you. He asks, this pasuk again is redundant. Why you have to tell me that you should do according to everything they tell you from the place that Hashem commanded you? Already told you in Pasuk number 8 that you have to go to the place that Hashem chose to command you. Why is he telling you again where you should come from? What is the Torah trying to stress that you should do according to the word that was said in the place that Hashem chose to tell you? Sefer Shemen Rosh wants to answer these questions first with a medrash on Parshas Vayetze, where it's written the pasuk there in the beginning of the parsha that Yaakovinu took from the stones of the place and he put them around his head. And note that it said stones in the plural. And then on pasuk number 18 it says Va'ikach eso even asher shamer rashoy. So if he took the singular stone that he put around his head, the medrash asks this question. The Medrash quotes Rabbi Yehuda saying that originally there were 12 stones, and he said that I'll see if they come together, then I'll know that everything is going to be okay. Normally, we interpret this Medrash as saying that like that Yaakov Avinu knew that he's going to have 12 children. But in truth, this Medrash cannot mean this way, because he originally put 12 stones. If you would put one stone, and that one stone it turned to 12, then it makes a lot of sense that he knows he's going to have 12 children. But he puts 12 stones, and the 12 stones turn to one. What was the meaning of him putting 12 stones? In truth, my Rosh Hashiva, the Vilna Rav Zichrono Livracha, in his Sefer Ezer Meyuda, asked this question, and the Vilna Rav explains that there was a prophecy that there was going to be 12 tribes, and the fact that 12 tribes became one, then he realized that they are going to have Achdus. If they are going to have Achdus, if the 12 tribes are going to become one, then Yaakov knew that there is going to be a continued existence of the Jewish people. Because since they are able to become united, then everything is going to be okay. But Sefer Shemen Rosh answers the question, how come he put 12 stones based on the Arizal? The Arizal explains in his Hakdama to Pri Eitz Chaim, which by the way is brought down in short in Magen Avraham, beginning of Siman Samaches 68, where there he explains about the source of the Minhagim that we have between Ashkenazim and even between different Sfardim. We have different Ashkenazim that have different Minhagim, and we have different Sfardim from Italia, from Catalonia, from Morocco, from Syria, they all have different nusach. And he says that this minhagim they have is really minhagim that they have in the way to daven. And he explains that Arizal says that his rabbi used to say that there is 12 gates in heaven according to the 12 shvatim. And each one, each shevet, has their own way to get in through the gate. And he says that this is the gates that are mentioned in the book of Yechezkel. And he continues and says that since there is 12 gates, obviously the way to get in cannot be the same. Therefore, each tribe has their own system of prayers that causes them to go in through the gate, that their prayers will go in through the gate according to what they pray. Because if all the ways to get in through the gates will be the same, then it's not necessary to have 12 separate gates. Would be enough to have one gate. From the fact that you have 12 gates, that means there is 12 ways to get into heaven. And each way is a different system of prayer. Therefore, he says that if you have a minhag from your parents that you daven a certain way, that you pray a certain way, then obviously you were part of a certain tribe that had this system of prayer. Therefore, you should not change your systems of prayer. But he explains that anything written in the Talmud, that anything clearly written, the way to make a bracha, the way to pray in the Talmud, that cannot be a deviation, because that has to be for everybody. But things that are not clearly written in the Talmud and you have a separate minhag, you should not change in any way. As a matter of fact, the Maril in Hilchos Yom Kippurim in Seder HaTfilah brings down that one time he changed the minhag from a place to add some extra tefillahs, and his daughter died, and he realized that the reason his daughter died is because he changed the minhag of the place. Sefer Shemen Roish explains that since, as we mentioned, according to Arizal, there is 12 gates in heaven, and we know that Yaakov Avinu set out to pray because it's written, Vayivga b'mokem ahu, he prayed in that place. Therefore, Yaakov didn't know exactly which way to pray to Hashem. He put the 12 stones around his head to signify the 12 gates, the 12 ways to pray to Hashem. Then he got up in the morning, he saw that the stones are united. If the stones are united, he realized that this must be a holy place, must be the place of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, he said, on the beginning of Vayetze, Manoiro HaMokom Hazeh, how awesome is this place, Ein Zeh Kim Beis Elokim, this must be the house of Hashem, Vezeh Shar HaShomayim, and this is the gate of heaven, meaning that each tribe has one gate, but there is one gate which is a central gate, that is the gate of the Beis HaMikdash. So now, if all of them became united, then Yaakov knew that this is the main gate to get the tefillahs, that this is Shar HaShamayim, because since he realized that all the stones became one, and the Beis HaMikdash is the unifying place where everything becomes one. Therefore, he realized that everything is going to be okay. So, interpretation of that Medrash that says that all stones became one means that Yaakov realized that this is the place of the Beis HaMikdash, where all the tefillahs go in through one tzinor, through one spigot, through one source. The same idea of 12 gates is expressed by Sefer Toiras Moshe in the beginning of the Parsha, where the beginning of the Parsha starts, Shoiftim v'shoitrim titen lecha, that you should put judges and officers, b'chol shorecha, and all your gates, Asher Hashem Elokecha noisen lecha, that Hashem gives you lishvotecha for your tribes, meaning that you are required to put judges in all the gates and all your tribes. The Ramban says that you are required to put judges lechol shevet v'shevet, that each tribe by itself is required to make their own judges. Sefer Toras Moshe asks a question, why is it required to have your own judge? Why can't one judge the people of other tribes? Why does each tribe require to have his own judge and his own officers? It would be better that we have one court system and everybody should go to that court system to get judged. That's from people from other tribes who should be able to judge other people. And he explains that since, according to the Sot, according to Kabbalah, there is 12 ways to write the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. As a matter of fact, on Rosh Chodesh, certain Sidurim have all the 12 ways written there. For example, Nisan is Yud Kei Vav Kei, Iyar is Yud Hei Hei Vav, Sivan is Yud Vav Hei Hei, Tammuz is Hei Vav Hei Yud, Av is Hei Vav Yud Hei, Elul is Hei Hei Vav Yud, Tishrei is Vav Hei Yud Hei, Cheshvan is Vav Hei Hei Yud, Kislev is Vav Yud Hei Hei, Teves is Hei Yud Hei Vav, Shvat is Hei Yud Vav Hei, Adar is Hei Hei Yud Vav. These are the 12 ways to write the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. And each tribe has their own way to connect to Hashem, and there is 12 gates in heaven, and each person, each tribe gets sustenance, gets his wealth, gets his Torah through that gate. Therefore, it's important that a person be judged by his own tribe, which is the same source of his sustenance, of his Torah. And the same thing the Chasam Sofer explains at the beginning of the Parsha, that the Ashpah, that the beneficence and all the parts of Torah, all the way to learn Torah, each Shevet, each tribe gets his own gate and gets his own source, his own pipeline directly to get the Shefa, to get the benefit from Hashem. Therefore, Hashem wanted specifically, says the Chasam Sofer, that each tribe should get their own judges. Because a lot of times, different tribes have different way of judging people. As a matter of fact, we see that Beis Shammai, which was more stringent, more gvura, had a different way to judge than Beis Hillel, which was more kindness, more chesed. And nonetheless, the Gemara says that Elu ve'elu, both of them, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Divrei Elokim Chaim, is the word of the living God. So we see that even though you have a different way of judging, nonetheless, for you and for your tribe, it is the proper way to judge. Therefore, we cannot have cross-judgment between tribes. The only exception to this rule, says Sefer Shemen Roish, is the tribe of Levite. Because regarding Levite, it is written on Parsha Zoysa Bracha, Devarim, chapter 33, Pasuk number 10, Yoiru Mishpotecho LeYakov, they should teach your ordinance to Yaakov, v'toroscho, your Torah leIsrael, to Israel, which means that Levite is the one that gets his channel directly from Hashem, from the Beis HaMikdash, because Hashem is his heritage. He has no other heritage in the land of Israel. So his beneficence comes directly from Hashem, and his Torah comes directly from Hashem through the gateway of the Beis HaMikdash. He is the one that's able to judge all the Jewish people. He's the one that's able to teach every single tribe and every single Jew. Therefore, Sefer Shemen Roish explains that this is the meaning of our psukim. The pasuk starts, Ki pole mimcha davar, if it's going to be concealed from you, a halacha, la mishpat, in judgment. The difference is going to be bein dam ledam, between blood to blood, like Rashi explains, bein din ledin, between judgment to judgment, uvein negel and negel, between a plague to a plague. But you should know what this comes from. This comes from because divrei rivo is bishorecha, because you have a strife because of your gate. Meaning that since each rabbi from each place gets his hashpah, his Torah, through his own channel, therefore you have a divergence of channels. You have a strife between channels. You judge one way because of your channel, to your gate, and the other person is judging the other way because of his channel, to his gate. Therefore, you don't know how to do, how to unify, how to act in a proper way. So the Pasuk is telling you, you should go to the place that Hashem chose, meaning to the place of the Beis HaMikdash, where their old channels are united, in the same example as Yaakov Avinu's stone became united. And then, uvosel ha-Kohanim alavim, you should come to the Kohanim, the Levites, because the Kohanim, who are the Levites, since they are the Levites, as we mentioned, the Torah wants to stress They are the ones that get their Shefa, their Torah way, directly from the Beis HaMikdash. They are the ones who get the channel directly from the Beis HaMikdash, and they are the ones that could unify and could teach every other tribe as per Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha. Therefore, the pasuk number 10 tells you, Vosisa al pi hadavar asher yigidu lecha min hamakom ahu asher yivchar Hashem. You should do according to the word that the people will tell you from that place that Hashem chose, meaning from the place of Beis HaMikdash. Since in the place of Beis HaMikdash, everything there is united, everything there is unified, then you have to make sure that you act according to what they tell you. Because only in the Beis HaMikdash is where you're going to get the Shefa, you're going to get united opinion, because there we only have one gate, as we saw by Yaakov Avinu. Therefore, the Levites who have the learning of the one gate, because they were given the bracha by Moshe Rabbeinu that they will teach Torah to all Jews, and the only way to teach Torah to all Jews is if you are in accordance to all the gates united. So therefore, you should come to the Kohen, the Levite, which is in that place, and you will get your answer through that one gate which unites all gates, which is the place of the Beis HaMikdash. As a side note, since we mentioned from the Torah Moshe that the different gates come from the different ways of writing the name of Hashem, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, we could say that since in the Beis HaMikdash is the only place where the name of Hashem could be said fully, the full name of Hashem could only be pronounced in the Beis HaMikdash, obviously that is the place that unites all ways to write Hashem's name, because in the full name of Hashem is included all the names. Therefore, all gates are united in the gate of the Beis HaMikdash. I will conclude this year with an Arizal, which the Arizal takes this pasuk and puts it in a completely different context. The Arizal is found in Tamei HaMitzvos, and he brings a Zohar Chadosh that says that during the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when the angels saw the atrocities that are being done to the Jewish people and all the suffering that's coming upon them, Shoalu Malachei Ashores LaKadosh Baruch Hu. The angel asked Hashem, Riboyne Shroilam, Hashem, Kosavta B'Torosecho, you wrote down in your Torah, on Vayikra chapter 17, Pasuk number 13, there you wrote, Vish Ish Mibnei Yisrael, a man from the Jewish people, Min Agera Gor Besoichem, and from the proselyte that lives amongst you, Asher Yotzit said that he's going to trap Chaye O Oif Asher Yachel, a beast or a bird that is going to be eaten, Veshafach es domoi, should pour out the blood, Vekisau beofor, and cover with earth, meaning that any time we slaughter a chaya or a bird, we are required to cover its blood. The angel asked Hashem, how come when the Jewish people are being killed and their blood is being spilled? It's written on Tehillim chapter 79, pasuk number 3, Shafchu domam kamaim, they poured the blood like water, Srivos Yerushalayim, around Yerushalayim ve'ein koiver, and there is nobody to bury them. How come at this point you didn't make sure that their blood is covered? In the same way that you tell the Jewish people to cover the blood of a bird, how come you didn't cover the blood of all these people that died and they didn't merit to be buried? The angels asked another question. It is written on Vayikra chapter 22, pasuk number 28, that you should not slaughter an animal and its offspring on the same day. And yet, here by the destruction of the temple, you allowed mother and child to be slaughtered on the same day. A third question the angels asked, it is written regarding the law of Metzora on chapter 14, pasuk number 36, that when the person comes and says, Kenega Niroli Babais, like affliction appeared to me in the house, then we have a pasuk that says, Vetzivu HaKoyen, the Koyen commands, Ufinu Es Habais, and they should clear out the house, Beterem Yavo HaKoyen Liris HaZanega, before the Koyen comes to see the affliction, meaning that if you have a tzoras in your house, if you have a plague in your house, Hashem wants the person shouldn't lose his belonging. Therefore, before the Kohen comes to destroy and proclaim the house impure, Hashem commands that everybody takes the belonging outside of the house. Like that, the belongings are going to be saved. And then the Kohen comes and he proclaims the house impure, you have to destroy the house. But nonetheless, the belongings are saved. And here, the destruction of the temple, it is written, Vayisrfu Beis Elohim, they burned the house of Hashem, V'chol Kli Machmadeo Le'ashchis, and all the vessels of the temple were destroyed. So here, Hashem didn't give a chance for us to remove the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash. He destroyed the house and the vessels. The angels are complaining, how come you dealt so harsh with the Jewish people? How come you did not follow your rule of Torah for the Jews? How come you didn't cover their blood? How come you killed parent and child in the same day? And how come you also destroyed all your beautiful vessels? Omar le'Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem answered the angels, Klum yesh shalom bo'ilam, is there peace in the world? Hoil ve'ein shalom, ein klum. Since there is no peace in the world, there is nothing. Meaning that the Gemara in Masechet Yoma Daf Tes Amud Beis brings down that the reason that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was because they had the three capital sins. They had Avodah Zarah, they did idolatry, Vagili Aroyos, immorality, Ushfichas Domim, and murder. And the Gemara continues, Avo Mikdasheni, Shayo Oskim Betoire of a Mitzvah Zegmilas Chasodim. But in the second temple, that we were busy, we were occupying ourselves with Torah, we were doing mitzvahs, we were doing acts of kindness, Miple Machorav, why was the second temple destroyed? The Gemara answers, Mipnei She'oiso Bosinas Chinam, because we had baseless hatred, meaning that we didn't have peace with one another. We had hatred for no reason from one another. The main manifestation of baseless hatred of Sinas Chinam is Lashon Hara. As the Gemara brings down, Talmud Yerushalmi says in Masechet Speya, Perik Aleph Daf Tes Vav, there it says, Omar Rav Abba Bar Kahana. Rav Abba Bar Kahana says, Doru Shel David Kulon Tzadikin Oyo. The generation of David HaMelech were all righteous. Val Yedei Shoyu Lohem Dilatorin. But because they had people speaking Lashon Hara on one another, Hayoitzim B'Milchama Voyo Noiflim. They were going out to war and they were dying. Yet the Gemara says that Doru Shel Achav, the generation of Achav, Oiv Devoy Dezora Hayo. They were idol worshippers. But because they did not speak Lashon Hara, they were going out to war and being victorious. So we see how much Hashem cares by you being united, that even if you don't Chas v'Shalom keep the mitzvahs, but the fact that you are united, Hashem doesn't punish you as harshly and saves you. And another interesting thing, which is the Medrash Rabbe on this week's Parsha, Parsha Hey. The Medrash Rabbe says, Omar Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Loi, Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Loi, said, Agimu Dvorim Nitztav Yisrael Bechnisosim La'oretz. The Jewish people were commanded to do three things as soon they come into Eretz Yisrael. Veiluhen, and these are the three things. One, Limchois Zecher Shel Amalek, to erase remembrance of Amalek. In other words, we have to make sure to eradicate Amalek. The second thing we're commanded, that we require to appoint a king over us. And the third thing we are commanded to do, that we require to build a Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi Loa continues and says, Uminu Lohem Melech. And we appointed a king. As soon as we got in, we appointed Shaul HaMelech. Umichu Zichro Shel Amalek. And we erased the remembrance of Amalek. We are commanded to destroy Amalek. Why didn't Hashem tell us to build a Beis HaMikdash at that time? Rabbi Loa answers, the reason is, that the reason that Hashem did not tell us to build a Beis HaMikdash is because we had people who spoke Lashon Hara amongst us. And if we have people like that, we can't have a Beis HaMikdash. Because if the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed when you speak Lashon Hara, for sure the Beis HaMikdash cannot be built if you are speaking Lashon Hara. And the Gemara in Masechta Zuma Daf Yutes Amud Beis brings down Shalus Rabbi Elazar, the Ask Rabbi Elazar, Rishonim Gedolim o Yacharonim Gedolim, who was greater, the first people, the people of the first temple, their sin was greater, o Yacharonim Gedolim, or maybe the sins of the last generation of the second Beis HaMikdash was greater, meaning are the three capital sins, Gilui Aroyos, Shfichas Damim, Avodah Zarah, idolatry, immorality, and murder, are they greater sins? Or is Sinas Chinom a greater sin? Amar Lohem, Rabbi Elazar answered, Tnu Einechem Babira, take a look at the Beis HaMikdash. Or some people say that he said, Eideichem, your answer is Bira, is the Beis HaMikdash, meaning that we see that the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt for the persons of the first Beis HaMikdash. In other words, the people committed the three capital sins, they merited that after 70 years, Hashem allowed them to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash because they already had suffered enough punishment. But yet, by us, Hashem did not allow us to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, the sin of Sinas Chinam, idol hatred, is much greater. And that is basically what Hashem answered the angels. Hashem answered the angels, you know why I do this? Because they don't have shalom. They don't have peace amongst themselves. Since they don't have shalom, that is the greatest sin. And as a consequence, all these bad things have fallen on them. The Rizal says that that is the interpretation of the pasuk. Kim pala mimcha davar la'mishpat, when it's going to be concealed to you, the reason that Hashem gave such a harsh judgment is going to be concealed to you bein dam ledam, between blood and blood. How come by the blood of a bird, Hashem tells you to cover the blood? Yet the blood that was spilled by the tzaddikim during destruction, Hashem did not cover the blood. Bein din ledin, between a law and another law. Meaning, how come you gave the law that oisov es benoi, that you're not allowed to slaughter the offspring and the parent at the same time, and yet by the destruction of the temple you allowed child and parent to be killed in the same day? Between a plague and a plague, how come before a kohen came to destroy the house you allowed them to take away the furniture and the belongings, and here you came to destroy the Beis HaMikdash you didn't allow? So the answer that Hashem is going to tell you is divrei riva is bishorecha, because there was strife in your town, meaning that you had sinas chinam, you had baseless hatred because of the fights that you had among yourself. That is what caused you to suffer, and that is what caused Hashem to transgress His own Torah in order to punish you. So divrei riva is bishorecha, that is really the answer on the question that you're going to wonder how come Hashem gave such a harsh punishment. The answer is because you had strife, and strife is what caused all the calamities that is falling over you. But the Arizal explains, the pasuk is telling you how to fix that problem, how you fix the problem that you have of strife amongst yourself. The way to fix the strife is for you to go up to the place that Hashem chose, go up to Yerushalayim, and you should go to the judge that is in that days, meaning you should go find yourself the rabbi that is in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is called Ish Shechubro Lo Yachdov, the city that unites you together. Yerushalayim has the power to unite people. Yerushalayim is the power to unite the Beis HaMikdash Shel Mala together with the Beis HaMikdash Shel Mata, the Beis HaMikdash in heaven together with the Beis HaMikdash on earth. Vedorashto vegidu lecha esvar ha-mishpat, and you will learn Torah through your Torah learning, through your becoming united, through your Torah learning, that will give you achdus, and once you get achdus, you'll merit to have Hashem restore His Shechina for you, and you'll merit again to have the Beis HaMikdash being rebuilt. Meaning that the continuation of the pasuk is to tell you how you get achdus. And the way to get achdus, according to Arizal, is number one, for you to go to Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim is a city that is conducive for Achdus, for unity. And then you should also learn Torah in Yerushalayim. Through the Torah and through the spirituality of Yerushalayim, you'll become one. And once you become one, then Hashem is able to bring back His Shechina and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. According to this Arizal, this whole pasuk is telling you how to fix your sins. That you are going to wonder how come Hashem punishes you so harshly. You're going to know the reason. The reason is divrivis bishorecha, because you are fighting amongst you in your towns. You are arguing about nothing. You hate for no reason. But if you go up and start learning Torah and fix your ways and you become united, then Hashem will make sure that you're able to come to the place that Hashem will choose, and there He'll rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So Hashem Yisborach should help that we should take this message of Sinas Chinam. We should cry specifically now that we are already in the month of Elul, that we are already in the month that you have to do tshuva, where Hashem is looking for you to repent, that we have to have pains, that the Shechina is still begalusa, that Hashem Shechina is still in exile, that He doesn't have a house where He could call home, and we should all strive to remedy Sinas Chinam. Then we'll merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, the Shechina should be able to come home already. B'imhera b'yomeinu, amen.